they let a couple morning idiots in the afternoon shift. Ha ha! Welcome in, Jamie Lynch, Bob Cooney, in with you guys 2 to 6. First, let me say it's an honor to be doing an afternoon drive time show with my fanatic at 5. Partner, Mr. Robert Cooney.
Mr. Robert?
Yeah, oh, okay. Mr. Robert Cooney. This is official stuff here, Bob.
Okay.
Bob!
As somebody that grew up listening to Philadelphia sports radio, it's an honor to be sitting in this chair 2 to 6 with you. And we got a lot on the table. A lot on the table. We got a little bit of a year in review. We missed the airing of grievances this past Sunday, so we'll get into some of that stuff later. But obviously the big story, Devon and Andrew were talking about it most of the middays. That Sixers game yesterday, and it almost leads me to one of my grievances, but I'll save that for down the line. It's a shame, Bob, because if J.J. Redick makes that shot, we're talking about what a great road win that was today.
Yeah, one shot away, a shot that he'll probably make 8 out of 10 times this season. For some reason, he's not hitting them when it counts most. But it's exactly right. That's what I said to you as we're talking. I just looked at you and said, you know what, if Redick makes that shot, we're not saying anything. We're saying how good Ben Simmons played yesterday.
Yeah, instead we're talking about, are they there? Can they beat the elite teams in the East? And right now, I don't think they can.
No, I still want to see.
There's too much wrong.
Yeah, there's too much wrong, and there's too many specifics that have gone wrong. You know, Devon was breaking it down about, and a lot of the callers about the last play and what they should be looking to do, and what are your priorities offensively. Sometimes it just seems to be so much simpler than people make it, and I think the callers are all right. What's wrong with the two-man, you and I were talking about, what's wrong with the two-man game of Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid at the end? What's wrong with isolation, Joel Embiid? Why a dribble handoff to J.J. Redick? Is kind of head scratching.
Jimmy Butler has proven in his short time here that he has that clutch gene. He puts it on the line. What is he? At least 2 for 2, if not 3 for 3 in game winning shot scenarios.
2 for 2 with the Sixers, yeah.
Yeah. And I think he had one that technically wasn't a last minute one, but it was a go ahead bucket with, like, you know,
with Minnesota earlier
this
year.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he's kind of 3 for 3 in those closeout situations. And why you go to a guy there, and I'm okay with not calling the timeout, but you have to have your bread and butter play locked and loaded and ready to go. And to me, a milk the clock, dribble high handoff to JJ with Ben, who the Celtics, we'll get into him because I have legit concerns, as a lot of people do. That's, you know, it's an okay play. Is it a game winning? You know, is that your best? Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid don't touch the ball. They're your two best players.
Yeah.
And that's actually going to be our poll today. You know, it's simple. Who do you want taking the last shot? Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, or J.J. Redick? And that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. From robotic lawnmowers to zero turns and conventional riding mowers, if it goes in your shed, Moyer has got it. Need parts or service? They've got you covered. What's your answer?
I think
it's pretty obvious who the top two are going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be Butler and Embiid, I would
imagine.
And
they're neither that shot yesterday or had the ball in their hands.
Look, I can understand the concern with Embiid late in the game. He had a lot of turnovers. His dribbling is still too much. It's too easy to identify. And what I mean by that is, and Devon made this point on his show today, it's a high dribble. You know where it's going. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to try to steal a basketball from the floor to 4 feet up, mm-hmm, on a dribble is pretty easy.
Or especially when it's a wily vet like a Horford or somebody
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. And you're forcing him to go different ways. They're forcing him to spin. He still doesn't have that control in his spin. So I would love to see a two-man game with Embiid and Jimmy Butler. And I think it would be Jimmy Butler because he can hit outside, he can dribble drive, he can pull up. I'll take any of those.
How do you not do a pick and roll situation with those two?
I didn't get it. I didn't get it. Now, that being said, like, Redick's shot wasn't...
It was a good look.
It was a good look.
He needs to make that. JJ is struggling this year. I don't think he has really a clutch gene in him. You know what it is? Like, it's just one of those intangible type of things that you can never really pinpoint.
Oh, and it's real.
Yeah, it's not going to show up in a stat sheet, or maybe it will, if somebody breaks down, you know, game-winning type shots.
Right.
But he, as a Sixer, has not shown me really that he has a clutch gene. So I don't know why the play was designed for him when you have another guy who for 19 seconds is standing in the corner of a half-court set with twiddling his thumbs. yeah. isn't even involved.
And their half-court intensity gets to me at times, too. Watching all the other games yesterday, whether it was Golden State, the Lakers, whoever it may have been, Oklahoma City, you see an intensity in a half-court offense that I just don't see with the Sixers. And maybe it's because it's the same thing over and over again. It is the high dribble handoff.
It's very predictable.
When they move the ball, like they did last year, especially after they got Ilyasova and Bellinelli, like the ball moved and it got to the right places.
Jimmy said that when he got here, when watching tape of them, he's like, man, they moved the ball great.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the times I feel like Jimmy and Joel are kind of still in that, like, romance in each other period where they don't really know everything. And I feel like both of them kind of find themselves almost out of the play a lot of times.
Yeah. Brett said on our morning show a couple of weeks ago that it's going to take until at least Christmas before figuring out where and who and how everything molds together. But sometimes I think there's too much thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, let's see. I like Embiid. He's 7'2", 285, and I like that kid Butler. He can do pretty much everything. I need a basket. Okay, I'm going to go a two-man game right here.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that hard. I don't know why it's not being called more often.
It confused me a lot. And Ben Simmons, we'll get into him coming up, but I even said to my cousin yesterday, we're sitting there at Christmas watching the game at the end, and I said, is Ben Simmons only a point guard because his best attribute is passing? Is that the only reason? Because that's sure what it seems like.
Is he only a point guard because he can pass?
His offensive game is better as a post-up player.
No question. Yeah. He can get to the basket. See, this is...
like, it's the first time I'm having doubts of him as a point guard. Because elite teams know how to defend him, and they know how to shut him down, and they can take him out of a game.
Yeah, I would like to see him on the court with a ball dominant. You're right, and that's exactly why they got Markelle Fultz.
It's crept into my mind, and I never thought it would.
Yeah, I'm not
saying they should, anything drastic.
Right. I'm still not, the guy. Like, he has to shoot from... look, that does have to come. There's no question. And hopefully it will. I still think the guy can score almost at will when he drives to the basket.
Occasionally.
But...
when you sag on him.
There's two things wrong with it, yeah. One is the sagging defenses that are going to come. Two is that he's not that 80% shooter that I'm looking for from 5 feet on in. Like, he puts some stuff up.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, like, last night he shot 4 for 9. Well, we know there wasn't many outside. Like, he's not finishing from 5 feet and in with the dominance that I want to see. If he makes that shot 80% of the time, because he can, off the dribble, get to wherever he wants, if he's finishing there, that makes me less and less but think that he needs that 10 to 12 footer.
But do you know why part of that problem is? Physically, he should be able to get to the rim on anybody in this league. Anyone.
Right. No question.
He has a fear of going to the free throw line.
That's the other part of it. Yeah.
And that goes back to the jumper, which is a major, major flaw in his game. And late in the game, look, he wants to get to the rim. He should be able to get to the rim. But he's thinking about going to the free throw line and having that pressure on him. And he's, what, a 65% free throw shooter?
I think he's at 60 right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't tell me that's not in his head.
No.
And that affects his game. That affects the team. And frankly, it's not good enough.
I think you're right. And it just, again, it seems something so simple. When you watch him shoot, when you watch his left, as soon as he's about to shoot, all of a sudden the left elbow starts pointing away.
Yeah.
It starts pointing. You want to keep that elbow right at the basket. As everybody out there that's ever played an ounce of basketball knows, his elbow goes out. And then he's got weird rotation, and his guide hand is becoming too dominant.
Well, that's the other part of it, is I think his guide hand is way too, like, he's confused. He's pushing and pulling.
Yeah, it's different. And why a shot can't be altered or fixed a little bit more than it has been from his first year. Yeah, that is concerning.
It is. So we'll get into that. I was down at the Eagles game on Sunday. One of the
You're
most
still horse.
You are
a little bit.
I was screaming my head off.
Yes, you were.
One of the most fun regular season games I've been to in a long time. It was awesome.
It was a great, great game.
The love for, and this is something we'll get into today too, the love for Nick Foles is amazing. It really is. And I would expect nothing less. Obviously, the guy brought us our first Super Bowl. But when he got hurt,
he was like the Undertaker.
Yeah. And
from
when
wrestling,
he came back in.
I don't understand that reference.
I mean, I know what you're talking about. Okay. When he shoot up in the casket.
Yeah.
But when he came back in, that stadium erupted with so much love.
Yeah.
And not to get, like, cheesy and sentimental here, it was awesome. Like, I was just kind of, like, looking around the stadium like, this is so cool.
You were taking in what was going on.
Yeah. I was like, this is amazing. Because, look, Sunday could be his last game as an Eagle. Yeah. Most likely will be.
That could have been his last game at Lincoln Financial Field as an Eagle. You know, yeah, and he let it get to him a little bit in the press conference afterwards.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a great moment. What a game. Oh, my God, what a game.
And we'll address some of these absolutely idiotic trade Wentz for Saquon takes. I just want to put one of those in a bottle rocket and fire it right into the sun. Like, get the hell out of here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bottle rocket right to the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So we got lots on the table today. Mitch, Henry, Jerry, Thomas, Jerome. See you guys there. Sixers is the topic du jour. But it's a big Eagles week, too, man.
It is huge.
It's damn that NFL scheduling for flexing the stuff the way they did. They really screwed the Eagles here. But we'll get into that. I don't think the Vikings are going to have such an easy time this weekend. I really don't.
I don't either.
It's going to be fun.
No, yeah. Chicago wants to win that game.
It's
going to
be fun. We'll get into it all today. At 4:10, Tim McManus is going to join us for the Eagles report. At 5 o'clock, we'll talk to David Murphy, who was up in Boston yesterday for the game. The Joel Embiid comments after the game we'll dive right into next. They were concerning. That's twice now in a month. He said some things that grabbed some headlines, and that's not a great thing.
No.
I'm Jamie Lynch. Bob Cooney in with me. We got Andrew Salchunas producing it and doing the updates today. It's an honor to be in here on December 26th in the afternoon slot. Time at the Fanatics, 2:13.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We'll do it live! Shit. Damn right we'll do it live. Got a lot of problems with you people.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Jamie's an angry elf today, Andrew.
No. I had a great...
You saw it? He's an angry elf.
I suggested you to do the show in here with me.
I'm telling you, I'm a little nervous.
Well, we were talking about airing of the grievances, which was the 23rd, the Frank Costanza holiday. I was talking about my grievances and...
And you started to go on overload a little bit.
I saw one of the most egregious human being traffic moves I've ever seen in my life on Christmas Eve at 17th and Chestnut. And it made my blood boil.
Yeah, it just did again.
We'll get into that.
Calm down.
You feel safe
in
there?
Did you get everything you wanted this year or no?
You know what? It was my officially the oldest Christmas I've ever had because I asked for and received a trash can and I was very excited about it.
Bob, you all right in there?
Can you want to come in here?
No, this mic's open, I'm telling you.
46 liters of finger-proof free aluminum trash can.
No one cares.
Split recycling and trash containers. It is an elite trash can, Bob. So I had a great Christmas.
You came in with a... He was all excited today. He comes in, he's drinking water. He's like, this is a Yeti! The Flyers sent one over. It's a Yeti. He's going crazy about the Yeti.
They sent me a Yeti tumbler coffee mug.
Okay.
It's a very nice item.
So he's got that in a trash can. The guy's like flipping out at the world. Those two things make you happy. Do you see where your imbalance
Yetis,
is?
Man, they keep stuff so cold. It's glorious. I'm good. I'm better than Joel Embiid.
He looked like, just now I looked over at him, he looked like you were like 65 years old.
Well, Devon keeps the studio really hot. It's like those Progressive commercials. Becoming your father. This is some really good mulch.
My, oh my, the trash can I just received is glorious.
Well, so it was pretty bad. I tweeted it out, and I was like, all right, I'm officially like beyond washed. This is bad. So my Aunt Wheezy comes over, and I was like, Wheezy, you got to check out my trash can. 46 liters, like joking around. She goes, that's really bad.
And he's got an Aunt Wheezy.
Aunt Wheezy and Uncle Dick. That's great old names.
Beautiful Dick.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm officially an old man. But Joel Embiid, after the game yesterday, why... Andrew, let's play the comments, and then we'll react to them. So here's Joel after the game in Boston yesterday.
I felt like I could have done more. I didn't get the ball, or the ball didn't find me in the fourth and in overtime. So in those situations, I got to show up. But then also, I got to be put in the right situations to be able to like help the team. And I felt like I wasn't in the right situation. So I felt like I could have done more. We lost. You know, I put this heavily on me because I know I could have done more.
Well, now, is that a true shot at himself, or is he airing frustrations with, I guess, teammates and Brett?
He's airing frustrations with the mask of, I got to do a better job.
Yeah, right? I don't think he blames himself.
Like, he says, I didn't get the ball.
Yep.
And then he stops and says, the ball didn't find me.
Yep.
So at first he's saying, I didn't get the ball, making me believe he should have gone after and gotten it. But then the ball didn't find me means others didn't. So, yeah, I think there is frustration there.
That's twice in a month
so.
Now.
Twice in a month after losses.
Now, look, the Keith story from before, I think the headline didn't do Keith any favors. I think it was a little salacious. It wasn't as bad as the headline made it out to be. But that's now twice in a month since the Jimmy Butler trade that he is airing frustrations. And, you know, I think it's 50-50. I think it's part on him to be maybe a little more vocal and demand things. And I think it's part on Brett and Ben. He's your best player. Feed the man the ball late in the game. He should be your highest percentage shot.
10 for 17 yesterday, 34 points, 16 rebounds. Now, you did have an overtime, so five extra minutes. But part of me is like, okay.
It's a great number game on paper.
Right. 40 and 20 isn't enough. 34 and 16 isn't enough. Yeah, if you're losing, okay, I accept you saying it's not enough. Because if you know, your team didn't win, good on you to say it wasn't enough. But the way he's throwing it out there certainly is kind of just like throwing little darts all over the place at different people. And it's not going to help anybody. I heard callers on the Von show, and I agree. And I think you and I might have talked about this, Jamie, last week. His demeanor on the court hasn't been what it used to be.
No, he gets a little
like
he
that
gets fun mopey.
Loving,
yeah, he gets
yeah.
a little mopey.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's... I don't know if he's tired, if he's not in as good a shape as he likes, but something seems to be off. I wouldn't think it would be the Jimmy Butler trade. This team has been great since Jimmy Butler got here.
Why is he making some comments like this in a month?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a little concerning.
It is. There's no question it is.
There is. And we'll dive into the Eagles here coming up, but we're going to kick it off with Jerry and Lansdowne. It could be a lot of key Eagles last game in an Eagles uniform this Sunday. A lot of big members of this franchise over the past couple years.
Yeah.
Could be the last time we see him on Sunday. So we'll definitely dive into that coming up. Jerry in Lansdowne gets us started off. What's going on this morning, Jer? Or this afternoon, excuse me.
How you guys doing?
Doing well, man.
What's up, Jer?
Yeah, I was on the line so long. Now I changed my point. I'm going to make
That's
point.
Fine.
And now, since you talked about Embiid, I'm a roll with that. Now, I've made an observation. Now, you know how the Sixers are trying to do this thing with a dominant center. And, you know, the league just hasn't been like that lately with a dominant center, you know, and winning a championship and stuff. And it's going to be a challenge because now I'm seeing maybe some of the residue of that where if you got a beast, you got to feed the beast. And
yeah.
it almost limits some of your other things you can do. And you see Embiid chirping a little bit already and just think, everybody talking about they need shooters. You get more shooters. You think that's not going to be concerning with him? You know?
Yeah. Well, in theory, the defenses should collapse around them, and he should be able to find open shooters. If I'm a shooter, I see Joel Embiid, I go, oh, I'm going to get some open looks.
But then that can mess your rhythm up a little bit since you stagnated with, you know, feeding the beast. And then where's your web? Like how Golden State has a web going around and a rhythm, you know, they get from moving it like that. You know, so it could be challenging. That's what I'm saying, you know.
It could be, but at the same time, if the game's on the line and they need 2 points, I want the ball with Joel Embiid's hands down on the block. And I want him beasting on somebody.
And one more thing I'm going to say about the game yesterday. I would say that my observation was the Sixers was as good or better than Boston. It was just like Shaq said last year. Their discipline and their team commitment to defense. They, you know, see what I mean? They was right with Boston. So it ain't like we need to talk about the bench and all these other players. We just as good or better than them.
I do agree with that. I think they're a bench player or two away from being right there. I just don't think they're there yet.
All right, now.
All right, see you, Jared. Right, thanks for the call, man. Do you agree with that?
No question.
And you know what?
Boston last night, sorry, James, brought off the bench Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier. Those are three guys better than anyone the Sixers are bringing. That's three.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. And the shame of it is Markelle Fultz is absolutely killing this team.
Yeah.
And I saw a picture of Zaire Smith my cousin showed me yesterday. He did not look good.
Well, he lost all that weight. They said he lost like 25 pounds, I believe.
And he looked sickly.
Yeah.
And he was wearing, I guess, one of his old coats, and it looked like it was about three sizes too big on him. Hmm. So I'm not, you know, Markelle Fultz's agent says that we're going to see him again this year. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a defining moment. Like, Brett Brown is going to have to look at him in practice one day and say, oh, okay,
He's back.
All right, suit him up. But if you have any kind of leftover from what he was going through before, then I don't see any way how Brett Brown can incorporate him into the lineup at all.
I mean, the shame of it is because you don't have a ton of assets to actually trade and obtain outside of that 2021 pick, which, by the way, was completely got in the hopes of acquiring Kawhi Leonard, because Mikal Bridges would help this team a lot right now. He'd be one of your top bench guys. I'm not going to get into spilled milk there, but I mean, the fact that Zaire and Fultz, your past two first-round picks, aren't playing right now is killing the depth of this team. Killing.
Well, there's that, and you don't have to go too far back to know that you spent a number three overall pick on a guy named Jahlil Okafor. You know, I mean, there hasn't been a real good history during this process of draft picking.
No. Mitch in East Windsor. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, happy New Year. Happy Festivus.
Yes. Same to you, Mitch. You got any problems with people you want to get off your chest?
My bosses. I guess to make you work 10 hours, it must be a tax write-off.
Yeah.
I don't know what a tax write-off is, but they do, so that's why it's happening.
It's like that Seinfeld scene where Kramer's like, it's a tax write-off. Jerry goes, you have no idea what that means, do you? And he goes, no.
But they do. Hey, no way you train Ben Simmons or even Wentz, but Ben Simmons should be a power forward. I mean, you really messed up. A lot of these draft choices by the Sixers are pretty bad. You got luck with Embiid. I mean, you could have had De'Aaron Fox besides Tatum, but De'Aaron Fox, I think, would be a better player than Tatum.
He's one of the fastest dudes in the NBA already.
And
Mitch, I'm having that doubt start to creep in about being a point guard. But the problem was the four in today's NBA is a stretch position, and he can't stretch it. He has good post moves. He can guard fours defensively, but he can't stretch it, and that's a problem.
How about a center? But then you got Embiid. That's another problem. But they didn't even think ahead. They were just playing like Russian roulette in a way. They got lucky with two guys. And one more thing, they got to build up their bench. Their bench is pretty weak.
They do, and I it's going to be really hard for Elton Brand to do that.
Yeah, you're going to have to hope you can get somebody like they did last year, like they did the last couple of years with Ilyasova, and last year also with Bellinelli. You got to find somebody off the scrap heap that's going to help you in some way.
Trade some of their draft choices in the future, because we know what that happens. You know what they amount to.
That's the only real assets they have. And thanks for the call, Mitch. We'll see you. Courtney Lee is a guy I would have eyes for from the Knicks. They kind of have a plethora of young, unknown
guys.
There's
guys out there that can help you. Look, you know, we mentioned Wayne Ellington the other day. We mentioned, who else were we talking about? We had, Austin Rivers, who was just let go.
Yeah. I don't even like him, but I almost would have taken him because he's a veteran body on the bench.
He's a veteran guy who can come in and know how to play the game. Now, look, that's not to say the Furkan Korkmazes or the TJ McConnell's, whatever, can't, but it makes them better. Because it puts them in better positions.
Well, TJ's a 12 to 15 minute a night guy. He's not a 24 to 28 minute a night guy. He was in yesterday when they had that run. Him and Korkmaz. Korkmaz hit a big three, but
yeah, put him up. That was like 98-91, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then they brought Simmons back in the game. Which, look, I'm not going to say you don't bring him back in that situation.
No, you don't. Because he's a better defensive player. But no denying that the Celtics know how to guard him.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. No question.
And look, here it is. October 16th at Boston, they lost 105-87. 10-24 at Milwaukee, lost 123-108. October 30th at Toronto, lost 129-112. November 7th at Indiana, 100-94 win. December 5th at Toronto, 11-point loss. December 14th at Indiana at home, lost by 12. December 22nd, Toronto, Saturday night. They actually played great. You got the home win, but there was no Kawhi and no Valanciunas.
Yeah.
And then yesterday's... So you look at the last, you know, eight opponents versus the elite teams in the East, and it's horrible. You're 2-6.
2-6, and Kawhi's sitting out in the one game that you win.
That's
so
not good enough.
It's not, and... You wonder if there's some kind of a mental hurdle that they have to get over.
Yes.
It seems so with the Celtics. You know, I think they went up 6 in overtime last night. Maybe 5, the Sixers did.
Yeah, 5 sounds about right.
And you just got the feeling that they didn't know how to play with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I did not feel safe with that lead.
No, I thought, okay, man, you hit a 3, you get a stop, you hit a 3, you get a stop, you hit a 2. You're talking 7 or 8, and then you just ride it out.
It was bad turnovers at bad times.
Then it was a turnover, it was 2 made threes, it was as if they play to say, we know they're going to come back, we just don't know how. Well, that's not the mentality you can have against elite teams. You got to keep the foot on the throat, and I just don't think they know how to do that right now,
Jay. Why can't they feed the post effectively?
I hear you. I don't know.
That seems so simple.
Look,
when there's Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid, you should be able to feed the post, no problem.
I don't know who we were just talking to, but the callers, you know, well, if you put Ben at the 4, and if you do that, like, sometimes, all right, stop. It's not that hard. Get 5 players out there and just figure out how to play.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be perfect fits of,
no.
And then bringing up Golden State and see how they fit here,
wow,
and he doesn't fit there, and the stretch
like
4 here. And look, I'll take Ben Simmons in my starting 5 any day. Any day.
Yeah.
I'll figure out how to use them a little bit better, I think, than they're doing so far, and that's Brett's toughest challenge.
This is where we eat our own as
sure.
Fanatics, because we're watching that game yesterday and we're acting like it's Super Bowl 52.
It wasn't.
It's 1 of 82. It's a grand scheme of things, not a huge deal. You should have won. JJ should have made that shot. The entire tone of town is different today if JJ makes that shot.
It wasn't 53 minutes that's pissing everybody off yesterday. It's the end of the game. It's the 5 of overtime.
But those are fears I have come playoff times that are going to rear their head again unless they figure this out. And to me, I thought Jimmy Butler was going to be the hump to get over that fear of closing out games. But, you know, they're still working all that out. And look, listen to this stat. And this is concerning. The Sixers have allowed 30-plus points to 15 different guards this season.
That was my next.
The most in the NBA. The team last year, all of last season, allowed that to happen 15 times in the entire season. And I hate to bring up his name because I do that trade 10 out of 10 times. That is the Robert Covington effect. It is. They were a better defensive team. You hope they figure it out, but it's just frankly not good enough right now versus the elite in the East. Thomas and Broomall joins the show. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you, man?
Good. So I wanted to talk about the Sixers as well. You know, we had an opportunity last night to win, you know, against a top team on national TV, and, you know, we wind up losing. But here's the thing. They need to win on TNT, on national TV. For them to be noticed.
It's a playoff type of atmosphere, Thomas, to your point.
Yeah, like,
I agree with you.
And the other thing is, too, like maybe a couple of years ago we used to play. But the reason why we were on national TV was because we're playing top teams. Now we have to be that top team and have the opportunity to play on national TV against the country. But the whole thing with, like, who should take the last shot, I think it has to be Butler. I mean, he showed it twice already. He hasn't even played a full season with us, and he already made 2 game-winning shots.
Thomas, we're agreeing a little too much here. Bob, any...
I'd rather have Thomas in this studio than you, Jamie, that's for certain. Thomas, did you have a good holiday? Anybody bother you during the holidays the way they did Jamie?
I worked yesterday, so...
See that? Thomas is a good guy.
Hey, it's double pay, and I didn't have to spend it with my other side of the family.
You were good up until then, Thomas.
I know.
All right, buddy. Be good.
Thanks for the call, Thomas. See ya. I'll tell you the worst part of Christmas.
Jeez. Thought I got him off of this, Andrew. He's complaining again.
I can be in a great mood.
You don't seem it. The happiest you've been all day is mentioning Robert Covington on the show.
Get out of here. Is that not a Robert Covington effect, that stat I read you?
Is that the effect you have when we say Robert Covington,
what
I just said?
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Times out of 10. And
me too. And I think Jimmy Butler straight up is a better defender than Robert Covington.
I think he's a better on-ball defender. I think Covington's a better team defender. Does that make sense?
If you wanted to. I'll just say that I think Jimmy Butler's a better defender.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying don't do that trade. I just
I look
at that stat and I'm going, well, what's the big difference? And
I asked Brett the question. He was on here what 2 weeks ago, and I said, Brett, what is up with all these perimeter, you know,
going
your perimeter
off.
Defense? Like Kemba Walker, we were talking about at the time. I forget who had done it the night before.
Have they allowed 350 point scorers this year. Blake Griffin
Kemba was one.
Kemba and Kyrie
had 40.
Ben wasn't playing the night. Blake Griffin had 50. By the way,
he would have been
covering him.
Yeah.
Ben would have.
But there's something there schematically they're struggling
with.
Did
he used to date Kendall?
No.
He dated one of them, didn't he?
He dated a Kardashian,
Griffin. I think he was a Kardashian Jenner, one of those two, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't I was going to say they're not sloppy second friends, are they? Because that would be awkward.
He's bringing the 5 a.m. humor into the 2 o'clock hour.
All right, here's the worst part of Christmas. Sleeping in my wife's childhood bed. It was awful.
Was your wife with you?
Yeah, the wife and the dog. It was terrible.
What, does she have a crib or something? Or
just like an old double. And it's on like this brass bed frame that shakes. And I slept terribly. So I'm very excited to get back.
Were you making it shake, Jamie?
What up?
Yeah, what up? No, I was not making it shake, Bob. I'm just saying, it was terrible 2 nights of sleep. Maybe that's why I'm a little cranky.
You are a locker. Your face has gotten as red as your shirt.
I'm sweating in here. Devon keeps it like a sauna, man.
It was hot when we got in here. I'll give you that.
I will give Devon a great hat tip. He turns it down towards the end and tries to get it right. But I run hot, man. I was at this Christmas party.
I can see why Devon has it so, because he's a slight little man.
Yeah.
So he, you know, the cold probably gets to him rather easily.
I run hot. And
you're a big fat guy. You're a big fat pig. That's why. I mean, you are sweating.
Yeah, I got
it's 45 in here, by the way, in my studio.
Yeah, your nice studio over there. All right, Adam.
You can go join him if you want.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll go do the show in there. It's actually starting to cool down. It's feeling
like
better.
Let Andrew come in here. You go in there.
Adam in Germantown, Howard, Newtown Square, Pat Nambler, Jerome, Sicklerville, Jerry in Delaware. You guys are coming up next. Sixers are the soup du jour today. You know what that is, Bob? That's the soup of the day.
Okay, yeah. I thought du jour was today, and then you had to say today, so you were kind of redundant there, but that's all right.
Soup of the day, soup du jour.
You said soup du jour today.
Soup du jour today?
Well, of the day,
I don't
meaning
think I
today.
Yes, you're putting
did.
Words in my mouth.
Run
and
the tape.
And I don't appreciate it.
I know. You're Mr. Grumpy over
Bob
here.
Bob Cooney, I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatics, 2-4-1.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back in, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, and the 2 o'clock hour, Bob, is brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin, equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit their new location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. Now, me and you were both kind of stunned here. We were looking over the Twitter poll during the break, and it's a simple question. Who do you want taking the final shot for the Sixers? You have 4 top players, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and J.J. Redick.
Correct.
What was your answer?
Jimmy Butler. Because of the diversity of his offensive game. Dribble drive, pull-up jumper, or standstill jumper.
I agree with you. I also went with Jimmy Butler. I'm shocked at how much he's dominating this poll, 1. And 2, Joel Embiid isn't even in second place. That put my brain in a pretzel.
That's easy to do, but go ahead. What is
easy to do? Andrew, real quick. Who?
What do we got?
Final shot, game on the line. Who do you got taking?
Who do I want?
Yeah.
I want the guy that you traded 2 starters for, Jimmy Butler.
All right.
The guy who's done it twice now already this year.
82% of the nearly 1,000 people that have voted so far say Jimmy Butler. That is what we call a landslide.
Wow.
Second
you
place.
You know, you're a little snarky with your answers sometimes.
Ooh,
what do you mean?
Like where
that's
this is
not
going.
Like, it's not like, you know,
they traded two stars for him.
Be quiet. Can I speak?
Ooh.
Go ahead, Uncle Bob.
Ooh. When, you know, you're asked to give your answer, but it's your opinion. That's fine.
Fight, give it as if
it's like, why is this even a question? Why are you questioning me on that?
No, I'm just giving you my statement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here, okay. Give it to me that way next time, all right? Because right. you rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, I got to say.
Mr. Cooney,
would you shut up?
Mr. Cooney, I would go answer JD.
Popcorn. Jimmy, there you go.
Jimmy Butler, Mr. Cooney.
That's nice, Andrew. Attaboy. Boy, the two of you. How did Christmas spirit just go over both of your heads?
I'm in such a good mood.
Really?
I am.
You look like you're ready to explode.
I'm smiling ear to ear.
Yeah, but your head looks, I swear it looks like it's going to explode.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's like red in your eyes.
Had to turn the studio into a steam room.
Okay, so go ahead. 82% Jimmy Butler.
Okay, that is bigger than I would have guessed.
That is amazing to me.
And Jimmy Butler was standing in the corner, twiddling his thumbs and doing some crochet for 19 seconds at the end of the game. Why?
How else does the pool play out?
Why is he standing in the corner not touching the ball in the final possession? Why?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that's a two-man game to me, and it's him and Joel Embiid.
The next part of the poll that stunned me. J.J. Redick is ahead of Joel Embiid for the final shot.
I said pool instead of poll because I'm looking at my college football pools.
Ah.
So
how is Joel Embiid not second in this poll?
How many percent does Redick have?
9% to 8%. It's close. But what are we talking about here?
Well, at first I thought maybe it was the way the poll was put out was who would you rather have the ball in their hands, but it's not. It's
just
a
final shot. Take it as you will. Could be a post-up dunk. It could be a three-pointer. It could be a fadeaway. Could be a dribble drive.
Yeah, how you don't have Joel Embiid, who's like a 50% shooter, pretty high on this.
That blows my mind.
Yeah,
that blows my mind.
That is amazing.
And you know what else is concerning? And I don't disagree with them. 1% of the vote goes to Ben Simmons. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a real problem.
Yeah, it is.
The results of the poll kind of they shocked me. So I just
I don't think it's going to change. I don't think all of a sudden Jimmy Butler's going to go down to 69%.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
You like that?
Maybe. Never mind. Jerome in Sicklerville. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yeah, same to you, Jerome.
You know, let me vent, please. Let me vent for a while.
The floor is yours.
Personally, I believe our biggest problem is player development and coaching. I watch the Sixers. I've been watching them for a while. I don't know whether it's this Australian type of coaching, but when you get near the end of the game, you got to weigh into consideration whether we up one, whether the game is tied, whether we down two. All of that plays a factor in there, who you really want to take the shot. Now, we have two viable guys. Personally, I'm old school. I'm going to feed the beast. I'm going to put the thing in the post.
I agree.
Either he's going to get fouled or
and he's a very good free throw shooter. So that almost increases your 50% field goal percentage. If he gets to the line, it's almost like a 70% shot or 75% shot.
And last night I watched how clear it was for him. You got to teach Embiid how to go and pin down low. Brett Brown, every single game when it's on the line, he draws up a play for a jump shot. Now, it's cool, but you have to weigh the percentages of we're up one, we down one, we up two. You got to go for the high percentage shot. I put the ball down and in the post. I watched when we lost to Detroit. He had Amir Johnson and Embiid out at the three-point line, and Griffin drove right through them. We didn't even have a rim protector. I watched Boston when we played them in the playoffs last year. They ran a play and got a layup.
Side out of bounds.
Yeah, the Horford, that was a hell of a play by Brad Stevens.
And you know what else I think hurt Embiid a little bit? I wish it, and this is really, you know, unfortunate, nothing we can do about. I wish Moses and Dawkins were still living. I think they would have been a tremendous asset in helping develop Joel Embiid. You guys got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerome.
He got
didn't
it
he
off
say
Moses
chest.
And who?
Dawkins?
Dawkins.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's simple to me. I go, if you really want somebody to coach him, bring, bring. Hey, the dream, Mr. Akeem, what's your price? Okay, no. Hey, David Robinson, what's your price?
Yeah.
If you really want, and by the way, you have one of the most fundamental big men, you know, in Elton Brand right there in the front office. You know?
Yeah, it does concern me at times when you look at Brett's NBA background. He came in and David Robinson and both Timmy Duncan were still on the team, and then Robinson, of course, retired. Timmy Duncan's was a finesse game. You know,
he was a big fundamental. He wasn't a power guy.
He wasn't that power guy. He wasn't the 7'2", you know, rim shaker that we all see Joel Embiid
being. David Robinson kind of had it and the finesse also.
Kind of had it, but he wasn't around so much. Like, Brett wasn't around much with him. So,
but everybody's got a price tag.
This is just a concern that comes into my head. Is Brett so used to watching the way Pop coached to Timmy Duncan that bleeds into the way he handles Joel Embiid sometimes, where him being out on the perimeter, having that finesse game, is attractive to him. Now, I think Embiid has a better outside game than Timmy Duncan ever did because he can take it about 10 feet further out.
I'd give Tim Duncan the mid-range nod. Bank shot, man, he had was deadly.
Yeah, Embiid has the ability to be
there,
too. Yeah, but
We're talking about, what, a top 10 player ever in Tim Duncan?
Oh, God, yeah. But we are. It does come to my mind, where does the big man coaching come from? James, I made this point to you on the morning show before. I think if you said to a player, go down and post up, I think Ben Simmons is better at doing it than Joel Embiid is.
He's probably the best post player on the
team. He gets wide, he holds his ground, he lets the ball come to him. If he's pinning at 5 feet, he'll get the ball at 5 feet.
He does a great job of using his ass to rotate off of players and get them in a...
He has a real good feel of how to do it.
Yeah,
and I don't think I don't think Joel Embiid has that. I don't think he's an ideal pin player. I really don't. If you, I don't think guys are reluctant to throw him the ball. I really don't think that they think he's in a good position to catch it.
Why didn't you make this shot, JJ?
That's all. Why? If he made it, then you're happy.
Yeah.
I don't like when you're happy. I like when you're a little bit angry, you are today.
Just make the shot, man. You got paid nearly, what, $40 million for 2 seasons? Make a clutch shot.
Why don't you take an air mattress to Addie's house on Christmas?
Next year I'm going to. I already thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my kids, they like to sleep in the same room together, even though they're older.
That's cool.
On Christmas, and they had the king-size air mattress.
Right. I have a great air mattress, too.
Well, then you have no reason to bitch today about her bed. You knew it was there.
I didn't sleep well the last 2 nights, Bob. I had a crick in my neck all Christmas. I had to drink it off.
Who the hell says they have a crick in their neck?
A 65-year-old man who likes trash cans for Christmas.
Right?
My trash can's
glorious.
You got to see this trash can. It's phenomenal.
Dude, you live down in South Philly. That trash can's going to get abused.
It's indoor. Indoor.
What do you mean indoor?
It's an indoor can.
Oh, it's a stainless steel indoor can, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, I apologize. Yeah. I thought it was an outdoor trash can.
This is the Cadillac of cans, man. And I got something else. I don't want to dive into it because nobody cares. I got these boxer briefs for Christmas.
Oh, my God. You should have heard them before the show.
Dude, they're these Tommy John boxer briefs. They're like $40 a pop or something outrageous. You know, I'm a Marshall's boxer brief sale item kind of guy. My mom blessed me with two of these Tommy John.
I'm not even wearing boxers.
Are you a commando man?
Maybe.
All the time?
What?
Wait, all the time?
No, I'm kidding.
I don't think he's kidding. I don't know.
I don't have a problem with commando. It just leads to more laundry because your stank's getting everywhere.
We are not diving anymore into your boxer briefs.
No, we're not.
Or Andrew's commando style.
If anybody out there has a pair of Tommy John boxer briefs, you know what I'm talking about.
It's 40 bucks a pop for underwear?
It's outrageous.
That's ridiculous.
They're that good.
No, nothing's that good.
I'm telling you, it's like heaven down there.
I mean, I'm real particular about my boxer briefs. They got to be long. They got to be tight. Like, I like the boxer briefs. They can't expand when you're wearing out. They got to stay.
I might get you a pair.
I ain't going 40. You are never going to spend $40 on me.
I told my mom she ruined all other underwear for me. I'm done. I can't go back.
Do you think you think it's permissible for me to ask your mom for an early birthday present?
Maybe. She's a good shopper. She gets the sales items. All right. We've lost control. 3 o'clock hour coming up. Adam, Howard, Joe, Tasty Cake, Dom, Jerry. Still got Eagles on the table. We got Joel Embiid on the table. His comments last night. Ben Simmons, shoot the ball. I'm Jamie Lynch in with Bob Cooney. Time at the Fanatics, 257.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.